It's always dangerous for me when I come to preach a sermon on the subject of patience, because that means you're going to have a week of trials as God's going to put you to it and see, hey, do you really believe what you're saying? And so it's been a fun week. If you've been following the saga on Facebook with me, let's see. I learned this week that my passport had been sent in, which had been sent in for renewal, had been stolen out of the U.S. mail. And so it's wonderful to know that an identity thief has your passport, your birth date, your Social Security number, and your bank account, because you have to send in a check, you know. So we've been dealing with that all week. And so finally, today, the fourth fruit of the Spirit in our series, patience. Remember, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 teach us that there's one fruit of the Spirit and it comes in nine flavors. Remember what the Bible says there in those verses? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How patient are you? Let's take a test. Let's find out how patient you are. If you've got a little pen and paper handy there, I'm going to ask you four questions. After I ask you one of these questions, I want you to write down a number between 1 and 10. 10 means you have lots of patience with regards to what this question addresses, and 1 means you have almost no patience. All right, so you got it? 10 means a lot of patience, 1 meaning no patience. Here's the first question. Are we ready, Kirk? Put it up here. How well do you handle interruptions? So write down a number, 1 to 10. What am I talking about? Let's say you're finishing a project at work and someone comes into your office and just plops down and just wants to chat. And what they're doing is they're putting you behind in your schedule. Or let's say you're getting ready to leave home and the phone rings or someone comes to your door and it's a solicitor trying to sell you something. So how patient are you with those kind of interruptions? All right, let's go to the second question. How well do you handle inconveniences? What am I talking about? Someone sitting in your seat at church. Or you're driving somewhere. And since this is road construction season in Wisconsin, you're driving somewhere and there's a detour or a delay. Are you like me when you come to those delays or detours that you'll back up and go a different way, even though it's longer, at least you know you're moving, right? Or how do you handle it when you call one of those service numbers or customer relation lines and all you want to do is talk to a human being? Please let me talk to a person. And you got to go through 50 options and you finally find one that fits and you push the button, you know, and then it gives you more options. You're just like, let me talk to a person. Third question. How well do you handle irritations? I'm talking about things like losing your car keys, the computer crashes, little things that people do that just bug you. One of my favorite preachers out of the Carolinas, Vance Havner. Vance Havner used to say, I don't mind being swallowed by a whale. It's the little minnows that nibble me to death that drive me crazy. And then the fourth question. How well do you handle inactivity? Are you a person that just can't stand doing nothing? You hate to wait. Did you know, I read the statistic a while back. Did you know that according to statistics, the average American will spend 6 months of his or her life sitting at a red light waiting on it to turn green? I don't think they took Brown Deer Road into consideration, because I think it would be more like 6 years. There's a traffic light every 200 yards on that road, and they're always red when you come up to them, right? So I think for us, that number would be different. You can tell a lot about a person when they're waiting for an elevator to arrive. I've noticed that some people will run up and will punch the button, and if the elevator's not right there, then they'll detour right up the stairs and go. Other people will stand there with their arms crossed, swaying back and forth, looking at the numbers, the lighted numbers for where the elevator's at, and can't stand still, and they'll bounce around like, come on, hurry up. And then the ones I love the most are the ones that come over and just keep pushing the button over and over and over again. Like, if you push it more, it'll come faster. I've never understood that. So how patient are you? Add up your four scores. Add them up. Of course, this is completely scientific, right? Yeah. But I think we could say if you scored less than 20, you probably need some patience. If you scored around 30, congratulations, you're a pretty patient person. If you scored 40, Jesus, we're glad to have you in our worship service today. I came across a little poem. You may have heard this. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. You ladies want to give me not an amen, but an amen? All right. So as I said earlier, I've had some trials this week, and I found that I need more patience, so I'm preaching to myself today, and the rest of you guys are just bystanders, all right? So, if I need to improve in patience, I need to learn three important truths. So what do I need to learn? Let's look at it this way. What we're going to cover today in the message is what it is, why it's so hard to have, and how you can display it. So let's look at the first thing. What is patience? What is patience? Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. Life is so frustrating and filled with situations that try our patience. Sometimes we have experiences like this kindergarten teacher I heard about. It was the end of a long winter day. The snow was deep. The kids weren't able to go out for recess because the weather was so cold and bad. And she was helping one of the young boys in the class at the end of the day put his snow boots on so she could go home. She struggled and strained and finally stuffed that little boy's feet into those boots. And when she finished, the little boy just looked at her and said, "They're on the wrong feet." So she pulled and struggled to pull them off his feet, change them around, and get them on the correct feet. Then the little boy looked at her and said, "These aren't my boots." And so she strained and struggled and pulled them off again. And then the little boy said, "These boots belong to my brother, but my mama told me to wear them today." So almost at the breaking point, she struggled and strained and got those boots back on that boy's feet. And she said, "Now where are your gloves?" And he said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." It was at this point that she left screaming down the hallway, all right? You see, our default position, our default reaction to delay and disappointment is to respond with anger. Patience is the ability to allow God's grace to control your personality so that you respond like God. And the Bible teaches that God is patient. The Greek word for patience is makrothumos. Makrothumos. It's a combination of two Greek words. Macro, meaning large or long. You know, we use macro and micro in computer talk, right? And thumos means anger or temper. Literally, it means having a long fuse on your anger or on your temper. That's why the King James Bible often translates the word patience as long suffering, having a long fuse. The Bible says in Psalm 145 in verse 8 that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Pay real close attention to this, folks. The mother of impatience is anger. Ooh, now you're going to meddling, preacher. The mother of impatience is anger. When you are delayed or disappointed, you are angry. But patience is that long fuse that God gives you so you don't lose your cool. Patience is a powerful virtue. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32, and let me read this to you, Proverbs 16, 32 from the New Living Translation. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. I heard a testimony one time about a successful business owner and a deacon in a Baptist church in Houston. And this man was talking, and he was talking about how he struggled with impatience and anger. One morning, he had a very important business meeting. There was millions of dollars involved in this transaction with his company. And he jumped in his car to go to this meeting, and the battery was dead. And so he felt the steam rising a little bit. Well, his wife was out of town on a trip, so he jumped in her car and sped out of the driveway and was soon on Loop 610 in Houston, the freeway that goes around. And as he was flying down Loop 610, suddenly there was a big traffic snarl, a wreck or something had happened. And Loop 610, as often can happen in Houston, became a parking lot. So he's sitting there in the parking lot. He can't go anywhere. He's hemmed in by traffic on all sides. Suddenly the guy behind him goes, honk! And his blood pressure shot through. Does that idiot behind me not see that I can't go anywhere? Why is he honking at me? A couple of seconds later, honk again. He looked up the rearview mirror, and the guy was gone. At him. He couldn't stand it. He said he slammed the gear shift into park, threw open the door, walked across that pavement to the guy behind him. The guy rolled his window down. He said, I reached in, grabbed the guy by the collar, and said, listen, buddy, if you honk that horn at me again one more time, you're going to eat my fist. Got it? The guy's eyes were about that big. He said, sir, I was just doing what you're bumping for. And he turned around, and his wife had put on a honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker on his car. And this deacon said, I got convicted by the Holy Spirit right there in the middle of that highway. And he said, I began to apologize. I said, sir, I do love Jesus, but I'm sure not showing it right now. Please forgive me. And he said it was a changing point in his life because he realized his impatience was destroying his witness. You know, a moment of patience can ward off great disaster in your life, and a moment of impatience can ruin a whole life. How short is your fuse when it comes to frustrating situations and frustrating people? So let's move to the second thing I want to share. Why is it so hard to have patience? Patience is rare, and you might say valuable because it's rare. But patience is rare because it's contrary to our nature and our culture. It is human nature, sinful, fallen human nature, to be impatient. We just aren't wired to be patient. For instance, think about a little baby in his crib. He wakes up in the middle of the night and he's hungry. Jamie, does your little one go, you know, I know mom's really tired and needs to sleep. So I'll I'll just lay here quietly until morning, and then I'll let her know that I'm hungry. Is that the way it works? Liar. No way. That doesn't work. Babies want to be fed, and they want to be fed now. Children aren't patient either, are they? Children do not know the difference between no and not yet. Some adults have trouble with that as well. What I'm saying is, there's a direct correlation between immaturity and impatience. You get it? The same is true spiritually. If we're spiritually immature, spiritually we'll be impatient. But as we mature in Christ, we should become more patient. Is that true in your life? A mom was driving on a long road trip with her 4-year-old son, and he kept asking over and over again, "Are we there yet? When are we going to get there?" Finally, she was so irritated at that repeated question, she said, "We've got over 100 miles to go, and do not ask me that question again until we get there." After a little while, the little boy said, "Mom, will I still be 4 when we get there?" Our culture is all about instant gratification. I want it. I want it now. We got fast food, right? We drive fast cars. We get upset if our computer takes more than 30 seconds to boot up. We want everything quicker. I get tickled at my kids. They'll pull something out of the refrigerator or the freezer, and they'll go, "You mean it takes 5 minutes to microwave that?" And of course, they know they're going to get the lecture. "We didn't have a microwave when I was your age. We had to put it in the oven, and it was 45 minutes, you know, or an hour, you know." There's a church in Pensacola, Florida, that advertises itself as the fast church. They have a 22-minute worship service. They have one hymn, one prayer, one scripture reading. They still make time for an offering, though. I want you to know that. And then they have an 8-minute sermon. Now, I know some of you are out there going, "I like that idea." For your information, it's not happening. Okay, so just get over it. But anyway, well, we like that. 150 years ago, if you missed the stagecoach, you went, "Well, there'll be another one tomorrow." 100 years ago, if you missed the train, you went, "There'll be another one later today." Now, if you miss your flight, you get upset if you can't get rebooked on another flight within 30 minutes. It is a microwave culture that we live in. How many gourmet meals have you ever had from a microwave oven? I haven't. Because of our sinful nature and our fast-paced culture, we daily face the challenge of living patiently. So earlier this week, I asked my Facebook friends to tell me what experiences in life that reveals their impatience. And I got some interesting responses. I'm not going to call you out by name if you responded. But basically, the comments that I got about what made them impatient could fall into three basic categories. And so let's kind of look at these, and I'm going to call them impatience triggers, things that trigger those episodes of impatience. And let's look at these, starting from the third most common down to the last one. The third most common one was traffic, things related to traffic. There's a lot of crazy drivers out there. In fact, there was one man who was driving home one day from work after he got off, and he was on the freeway, and his wife called him on his cell phone, and he answered it, and she said, "Honey, I want to let you know I just heard on the news that there's some idiot that's driving the wrong way on the freeway, and so to be careful." And he said, "You don't have to tell me. There's not one. There's thousands of them." He was the wrong way driver, Daniel. Daniel's looking at me like, what? Okay. Traffic. Impatient drivers. And if you don't believe that, I know you already do, but if you don't believe that, just try this experiment sometime. Next time you're first in line at a red light and it turns green, sit there and go one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, and see what the person behind you does. And by the way, if I'm behind you, don't do that, okay? All right, so let's go to the second most common impatience trigger that my Facebook friends said they had. And the second most common impatience trigger, let's just call it waiting. One person identified the DMV. Think about standing in line at places like Walmart. So are you one of these folks when you get to the express line at Walmart or some store like that? Do you find yourself counting the items in the people's basket in front of you to see if they went over them? You might struggle with impatience if you do. 2 years ago, up in Saukville. Yes, I'm actually pointing the right way. Up in Saukville, at the Piggly Wiggly up there. Y'all know where that one is, right? Right there on Highway 33. A woman was in the express lane. She had more than 10 items. A man behind her saw that and said, "Lady, you're in the wrong line." And she said, "Sir, I'm sorry, I'm just in a big hurry." "Do you have a problem with that?" And she asked the lady to do. And he said, "Yeah, I do. And the problem is that you're fat and ugly." Well, it escalated to the point that the police were involved. And the man was given a citation for harassment. I've heard of road rage, but we also have express lane rage. And what was the number one most irritating thing, according to my Facebook friends, or impatience trigger? It was irritating people. Irritating people. Oh. I'm shocked. I've never come across an irritating person. Pinocchio nose grows. There was a man in a grocery store pushing a cart with little boy there in the seat, and the little boy was just screaming his head off, and the man kept saying, "Albert, take it easy. Albert, calm down. Albert, that's enough." And a nearby shopper came up to him and said, "Sir, I want to commend you on your calmness and your patience with a little Albert there." And he said, "That boy's name's Joe. I'm Albert." "Take it easy, Albert." But did you know the New Testament tells us that one of the great marks of maturity in a Christian is patience. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." You see, just as anger is the mother of impatience, love is the mother of patience. Oh, love is the mother of patience. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that you always hear quoted at weddings? Love is patient and kind. When we practice patience, we're showing love to other people. So we've learned what patience is. We've learned why it's so hard to have it. So let's get to where the rubber meets the road. How can I show patience? How can I have patience? How can I display patience? Patience is calm endurance under pressure, knowing that God is in control. You know, sometimes we try to avoid pressure, but pressure can be good. If you didn't have pressure, you'd never have a diamond. Remember, a diamond is just a chunk of coal that's put under heat and pressure for a long time, and that's where you get a diamond from. But the only way we can endure pressure is to have the calm assurance that whatever happens, God is in control. I read a story one time about a man named Bob. Not this Bob, but another Bob. Bob went to see his pastor and asked his pastor to pray for him to have more patience. And by the way, some of you have asked me to do the same thing, and I always tell them when you, and I'll always tell you when you ask me, are you sure? That is a very dangerous prayer to ask someone to pray for you to have patience, or for you to pray to have patience. Because the pastor began to pray for poor old Bob that day. He said, Father, I pray that you will fill Bob's life up with trouble. Give him trouble in the morning, trouble in the day, and trouble all through the night. And Bob said, hold it, Pastor, that is not what I asked you to pray for. I didn't ask for you to pray for me to have trouble, but for me to have patience. And that's when that pastor wisely said, Bob, there is no shortcut for patience. Only trouble and tribulation produce patience. At the beginning of the service, I read James 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because knowing that the testing of your faith produces or develops perseverance or patience. The King James Version says patience there. Patience and perseverance are twin virtues. How do you know the difference between patience and perseverance? All right, pretty easy. Patience results, it relates to dealing with difficult people. Perseverance relates to dealing with difficult situations. The word perseverance that's found in the New Testament is a Greek word that literally means to stay on course. And it was used of sailors who were sailing at night. And the phrase was to stay under the North Star. You see, when we face temptation and perseverance, we have this urge, this temptation to change course when the waves get high and the currents get strong. But perseverance keeps us on course, helps us stay under the North Star of God, even in the storm. Okay, preacher, but you're still not practical for me. How can I develop more perseverance and patience? Here are three steps. If you want a formula, here it is. Here are three steps that will help you develop or improve patience. Number one, identify your impatience triggers. For example, if you know traffic issues are going to set you off, admit it and work to relieve the stress. Try listening to praise music when you drive. Take a deep breath and remember that life isn't about the destination, it's about the journey. Discipline yourself to leave earlier so you don't have to deal with as much traffic. Some of us were taught that 15 minutes early is right on time. When you expose, though, to yourself those impatience triggers, then you can confront them and deal with them. But if you don't know what your impatience triggers are, just ask someone that lives in your house with you. And they will be very quick to tell you what they are. Second way to develop patience. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. Now, some people run around saying all stuff is small stuff. Well, there are some big issues that matter. Things like how you relate to your Creator. That's big stuff. But most of the stuff we really deal with is small stuff. When you find yourself being stressed with impatience and losing it, ask yourself, will this matter 1 year from now? Will it matter 10 years from now? And then finally, will it matter 1,000 years from now? And you know what you'll find? that the answer is almost always no. No. Most of the things that we lose our patience over really don't matter. But listen, the people that we lose our patience with do matter. And then the third thing is slow down and trust God. Slow down and trust God. I wrote about this a little while back in a newsletter article. We just so seldom slow down and take time just to enjoy the presence of God in our lives. Don't try to drag God along at your hectic pace. It is surprising to you when you learn for the first time God is not in a hurry. The psalmist describes how as we face the chaos of life, but yet our God is our refuge. In Psalm 46, in the first two verses, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. So if the earth crumbles beneath your feet, and the mountains start falling into the sea, God is your refuge and your strength. And in the midst of that, then, while that's going on, while the earth is failing beneath your feet, the mountains are falling into the sea, you come to verse 10 in that psalm, and you know what it says? God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. When was the last time you got still and sought the presence of God? No phone, no television, no computer, just you and your Creator. As I wrap this sermon up, I want to make two final observations about patience. First, patience isn't hard. It's impossible. Now, don't let that discourage you. The sooner that you admit that truth, that patience is impossible, the sooner you will surrender your personality to Jesus who lives in you and let His perfect patience live through you. Quit trying to be patient on your own. You're going to lose every time. Let the patience of Jesus flow through you. Remember, as we've been studying these nine fruit of the Spirit, remember love? I can't love the unlovely, but Jesus can. Remember joy? I can't have joy when there's heartache, but Jesus can. Remember peace? I can't have peace in the middle of the storm, but Jesus can. And remember this with patience. I can't be patient when I'm surrounded by a world that breeds impatience, but Jesus can. Let Him fill you with His patience. And the last thing I want to point out, secondly, is God is being patient with you right now. And especially if you're someone sitting here who has heard the gospel, has heard how to be born again, and haven't trusted Christ yet. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The Lord is patiently waiting on you to come to Jesus. If you haven't placed your faith in Jesus yet, God is waiting patiently for you. Why hasn't Jesus returned yet? Because God is patient. Why are you still alive? Because God is patient. After the Civil War, the main form of entertainment in America was public speaking. People filled large halls to listen to great orators speak for 2 or 3 hours. It sounds like fun, huh? Now, you got to remember, guys, this was before radio or television or any of that. No movies, nothing like that. One of the most popular speakers of that day was an atheist named Robert Ingersoll. He loved to blaspheme God and poke fun at Christians in the Bible. His favorite speech was entitled, "Why I Am an Agnostic." And one time when he was speaking in Boston, he ended a speech with a challenge to prove that God does not exist. And this is what he said at the end of his speech. He said, "If there is a God, I challenge him to prove his existence. If God exists, I invite him to strike me dead within 1 minute." And he began counting down the seconds, starting at 60. News reports of this account of this day say that women fainted, that men made hasty retreats to the exits, fearing that a lightning bolt from heaven was going to strike at any moment. He counted down from 60 to 0, and he said, quote, "So you see, ladies and gentlemen, there is proof that God does not exist." The next day, a reporter asked a well-known pastor in the city, A.J. Gordon, asked him what he thought about Robert Ingersoll's challenge to God. Well, old Dr. Gordon chuckled and said, "Does Mr. Ingersoll believe that he can exhaust God's marvelous patience in just 60 seconds? If you haven't trusted Christ yet, God is still patient with you. There's no end to the patience of God, but there will be an end to your life. God's patience will not come to an end, but your life will one day. What then? Will you give your life to Jesus before it's too late? Believer, let Jesus' patience live through you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today's message. Lord, we know that this is a subject that I struggle with, all of us struggle with, because we're human. Father, all of us get stressed. All of us raise our voices at one another. All of us raise our voices in frustration and anger at situations. Oh God, help us see what that is. And God, help us see that it's impossible on our own to be patient. But Lord, you are eternally patient. And God, your patience can flow through us. That is our prayer. Lord, as we come to this invitation, I pray that every one of us will be honest with ourselves and with you. And let your Spirit do a work in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand. I invite you to come.